Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Slareth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Apparently the Lakers weren't interested in tanking. They're okay with banging their head against the playoff wall again and playing the Nuggets in the playoffs despite losing eight straight times now to the Nuggets. They beat New Orleans yesterday in a play-in game. They clinched the number seven seed. And LeBron and the Lakers, well, they feel they're in a good place right now.
I mean, it's been my tone all season. You know, it's been, we can get healthy, or when we're healthy, or how healthy we can get is going to determine how well we play. And this is about as close as healthy as we've been, and we're still without a big piece in Randle. So, but tonight we showcase what we're able to do, both offensively and defensively. We got a good group going right now, good rotation, good plan, and guys are coming in ready to go.
Is there anything about this Lakers team right now that feels different than the ones that the Nuggets have dominated of late?
No, I mean, you know, LeBron talks about the health and they'll have plenty of days in between games. So, I mean, there's, to me, it feels like there's no excuses, but it still doesn't feel like, you know, when you look at roster for roster, you look at starting five for starting five, it still feels like the Nuggets are a dominant force. I mean, you know, Jokic and Anthony Davis, the edge goes to Jokic. You know, you want to say LeBron gets the edge over Murray if you want to go that direction. But Gordon plays with unbelievable toughness. KCP has been clutch. The way Michael Porter Jr. has shot the ball and he's played in 81 games, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. Our five against their five, like, that's not close.
Well, the Lakers will tell you that what's different about them now is that this is the most versatile and deep and complete a squad that they've had around LeBron and AD since the two have been together.
Right.
And that finally they have pieces in place that they're not just reliant on those two.
Right.
Okay. We're fixing to find out.
Is there like I wonder if they do prop bets on like how many times Anthony Davis will have like the game stop because of a fake injury or something.
Or like how many times does he fall down?
Right.
Like how many times does he hit the court?
Right.
Right?
Right.
There should be an over-under on that.
Yeah. I mean, if only we had an expert gambler that we could, you know, reach out to.
Right. Looking at you, Rogue, do you know who that is? We have one on this station.
Do we?
Yeah,
on
we do.
On the station?
Oh, on this station? Yeah.
Maybe I should keep my mouth shut.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about...
I thought, Mr. Two things can be true at the same time.
Oh, no. I was actually thinking about...
He had the multiple laughs.
I was thinking about somebody's brother.
This is not a drill.
Oh, oops.
Yeah, that's too soon.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Don't want to go there.
Too soon. I mean, it would have been much better if you came up with, do you have an interpreter in mind?
Yes.
Second down.
That would have been better. The Warriors lose. Get blown out. 118-94 against a hard-to-figure Sacramento team. So, Warriors are out. Over and done with. No more. Steph Curry, done.
Definitely frustrating, disappointing, to say the least. But you hold your head high knowing there's a lot more in the tank. And for me personally, that's the mindset.
See, this is the mistake that all great runs, when they're nearing the end, when it's obvious to everybody, make them the same mistake. And they try, out of nostalgia or whatever, they try to drag it out as long as possible. What the Warriors need to do, learn from history, do an immediate tear down and rebuild, and start by trading Steph Curry.
What?
Yes, that's what you...
No.
That's what you do. That's the fatal mistake that every team that has a great run makes. They don't recognize when it's obvious to everybody that it's over, and they don't speed up the rebuild. Instead, it drags on and on longer than it should because they hang on to the pieces too long.
God, that's so that's right. What happened in New England, right? They got rid of Tom Brady, and then, oh, wait, no, he went out and won another Super Bowl.
Yeah, but then he was out of football in another year. Well, until he comes back.
Yes. Third down.
What
if Tom Brady played here?
I've been kind
of... Sean Payton made a phone call.
No. I've been kind of sitting on that one, much like Mother Goose outside with her eggs. I got a theory about that.
Ooh.
Boom. Jared Bednar with a Gabe Landeskog update.
Yeah, not close. Nothing's really changed with him. His focus and determination to do everything he can to get back to play is still the same as I've seen him before. You know, I mean, he's going to be dedicated to what he needs to do in order to try and come back into our lineup. But nothing's really changed on his rehab front except for him. He's just going to continue to grind to try and get back.
You made a great point earlier. Should Avs fans feel like they've been led on or duped at all by the Avalanche, kind of, you know, leaving it out there, kind of dangling that carrot, that, you know, possibility of Gabe coming back? Would you recommend to the Avs that they just come out and say, folks, it's not happening? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
You'd like a little bit more transparency?
Yeah, for sure. And not going to happen this year. Plus, it doesn't... Like, if we want this guy to finish out the 5 years that he's got left on his deal, the best possible case scenario for that is him to continue his rehab, continue doing things, and see where he is at the start of next season.
Finally, Rockies lose again in Philadelphia, 5-0. Third time already this season they've been shut out. 4-14, the worst start, 18-game start in Rockies history.
But there's still a couple teams that are worse than them, right?
True. But
the White Sox are worse. But is Miami still worse, or are they tied up?
This is saying something. We've seen a lot of bad Rockies baseball over the years, especially of late. This is the worst start ever.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's only going to get worse.
The good news is our O's are playing well right now.
The O's are playing well. I think the Rockies are going to lose 115 games this year.
115.
I think they're going to lose. I'm putting the new over-under at 115. What do you want to do?
I'll go over.
Okay. Coming up next, well, you kind of brought it up. I got a Tom Brady, Sean Payton theory to run by you here. Okay?
All right, Mother Goose.
Just like Mother Goose, I've been sitting on this one for a little while. It's time to hatch. Next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Much like our Mother Goose that we have sitting outside our main door out here.
Yeah.
She's been nesting with her little goslings. Goslings. Her little Ryan goslings. For the last few weeks, and we love them. We love Mother Goose.
Yeah.
I mean, we're so happy for Mother Goose. We're rooting for Mother Goose. We want everything to go well. We're hoping for a very, very, you know, happy ending with all this, right?
Yes.
So, but just like Mother Goose, I've been sitting on my own eggs.
Yeah.
I've been nesting on my own little...
It's like a metaphor.
...theory here, okay? Yeah. So, Tom Brady came out recently and said, hey, you know, if a team wants to reach out, I might be interested.
Yes.
And he mentioned a few teams. He mentioned New England, Vegas. He did not mention the Denver Broncos. Not because... He wouldn't be interested in the Broncos. I think he would be.
Okay.
But because of recent history, he probably wanted to stay away from mentioning the Broncos. Why? Because Sean Payton. Why? Listen to my theory here. 2022, Sean Payton did not coach the New Orleans Saints. He walked away from the Saints, right?
Correct.
Most people took it as, yeah, he was 15 years coaching the Saints. He was ready for a break, right?
Yes.
It's not the case at all. He was ready to keep coaching. In Miami that year. The plan was, And this is well documented. The Dolphins actually were stripped of some draft picks because of this for tampering. The plan was Miami owner Stephen Ross, a Michigan man.
Mm-hmm.
The plan was to bring Tom Brady to Miami, coached by Sean Payton.
Right.
And that was going to be the story in Miami in 2022. But what happened? What put the whole kibosh on that? The whole Brian Flores lawsuit.
Correct.
And because of the Brian Flores lawsuit against Stephen Ross and the Dolphins, that thing went away. But that was the plan.
That was the plan.
That was the plan. Tom Brady, Sean Payton, together in Miami. So, think about this. You could go at this one of two ways. Either the Broncos do draft a quarterback, but we've seen so much evidence that quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, benefit from sitting for a while. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady,
mm-hmm.
Jordan Love.
Yes.
You know that if the Broncos were to draft a quarterback, especially in the first round, the clamoring from Broncos country would be so loud for that kid to play right away. Mm-hmm. It'd be difficult to resist, right?
Correct.
Unless you had Tom Brady here. Tom Brady's here. That kid can have a red shirt year and nobody's going to say a word.
How many years do you get Tom Brady for? Do you get him for two?
Yeah, you start with one, see how it goes. But the idea of Tom Brady in Denver is not far-fetched at all when you consider Sean Payton's here. And you consider the fact these two had signed up. They had agreed to work together. And would have in Miami had the Brian Flores lawsuit not come down. So why not here? A couple of years later.
Boy, that'd solve a lot of issues, right?
Right. Or you decide that you don't love a quarterback in this year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of trying to roll Jarrett Stidham out to Broncos country, you roll out Tom Brady instead.
Could you imagine?
How about that one for my little theory that I've been...
I love
nesting on for a while.
I love it.
Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Can you imagine?
But I'm not pulling it out of nowhere.
No. It's good.
There's enough breadcrumbs there.
It's a good theory. And the fact that Tom Brady said, yeah, I'd, answer that phone call if somebody called.
Right.
Dude, think about that. So you would have one franchise who had Elway, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady play for that franchise.
Brilliant!
And
yeah.
Win Super Bowls.
Well, now. Easy. Whoa. Easy.
Settle down just a little bit.
Tom Brady doesn't instantly make this a playoff team?
You tell me. Is this a playoff roster with Tom Brady? All right. First of all, maybe we got to... Let's back up a couple steps.
I'm getting so excited.
You're getting so excited. You're like a kid on Christmas morning running down to see the presents. Can Tom Brady still play?
Oh, there ain't no question.
At what, 45? Age 45?
Well, I don't care.
After taking a year off?
What will he be? His birthday's in August. I don't know exactly.
I'm surprised you don't know his birthday.
August 19th. But
August 3rd.
Oh, August 3rd? I celebrated for 2 weeks, though. So I celebrate from the 3rd to the 19th.
He'll be... Actually, I'm sorry. He'll be 43? He'll be 47.
What?
In August. He was born in 1977, so that's...
Inconceivable.
This August, it'll be 47.
Are you serious?
If he was born in 1977, what would that make him in 2024?
87, 97... 2007, 2017 is 40.
And then 7 years.
18, 19, 20, 21, 20. Whoa.
But here's the funny thing.
Remember him saying he could play till 50 and everybody, when he was in his 30s, everybody's like, oh, come on, give me a break.
So in his last year, 2022.
Uh-huh.
So he would have.
So it had been a year off.
A year off. But in his last year, he attempted 733 passes, which was a career high for
for him. Oh, by the way, coming off his age 44 season, in which he attempted 719 passes, which was, at that point, a career high. So in his last two seasons at age 44 and 45, he threw the ball more in those 2 years than he did in any other two-year span in his entire career. And, oh, by the way, in those final 2 years, he completed almost 980 passes, throwing 68 touchdowns in those 2 years. So you're telling me that after 1 year off, even at age 47, the guy has lost the ability to throw football?
He's going to be 47.
I know. That's wild.
We're still here!
So what do you think? Huh? What do you think, text line? What do you think, Broncos country? What do you say?
I'd be all in.
How about that?
I love Tom Brady.
303-713-1043.
I know one thing. If Sean Payton screams at him and undresses him on the sideline, Brady ain't going to just cower and tuck his tail between his legs. He'll scream right back
exactly.
at him.
Exactly.
Be awesome.
Then what will the pearl clutchers say? What's trending next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Man, the Caitlin Clark hysteria showing no signs of letting up. So the WNBA draft shattered their TV ratings. 2.5 million people.
Sure.
Tuned in to watch Caitlin Clark be the first overall pick in the WNBA draft. We mentioned that all of her Indiana Fever gear with Fanatics sold out like in an hour.
She sold more jerseys than the top selling NFL draft prospect, which was Trevor Lawrence, sold. She topped him. Caitlin Clark.
So check this one out. Hockey guy is not going to like this.
Oh, no.
So, Clark's WNBA debut is set for May 14th, which would be in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Uh-huh.
ESPN will have to decide whether to put Clark's game on ESPN2 or move whatever NHL game would be scheduled at that time from ESPN to ESPN2 because Caitlin Clark's WNBA debut would get a much bigger number than the hockey game.
Absolutely. There's no question you're going to move that.
Of course you're going to move it. Sorry, hockey.
Caitlin Clark. At what point does she save the WNBA, or does this just kind of eventually dissipate and the WNBA continues to not be watched by anybody?
She'll have to play well. If she comes in and makes a Magic Johnson, Larry Bird type rookie debut, sure, it can save a league. Absolutely. That's what Magic and Larry did for the NBA, which people look at the NBA now, you don't realize that when Bird and Magic came into the league, that league was in trouble. Like, in trouble. And they rescued it.
Yeah.
Because they came in with a lot of hype, and they delivered on that hype right away. I think Magic was the rookie of the year that year. So, anyway, hockey fan.
No, they're not going to be happy, Mike. They're going to be angry.
Speaking of angry, Charles Barkley, angry at all the hype that accompanied this recent solar eclipse that we had.
A bunch of losers. That was, they're like, now I can understand if you're like a little kid or you want that, but these adults talking about they were going through something. I said, what a bunch of losers.
What a heel turn.
Thank you, AJ.
Come on, man. Please stop. Come on, man. If you, like I said, if you want to do that with a kid or something, or a science teacher want to take your class out, but if you're a grown-ass person and you built your whole day around the eclipse, you're a damn loser.
Barkley on the Pat McAfee Show.
That's nerd stuff.
Well, you kind of agree with, not in that strong a language, but you kind of agree with Sir Charles.
Oh, yeah. The path. The space guy. Whatever. I mean, you running out to look? Did you run out to look?
No, I didn't have the proper eye gear or anything like that, so I would have been one of those idiots that looked up at the sun.
Right. I didn't have not only the proper eye gear, I didn't have the proper, just the proper excitement or whatever. I didn't care. I don't know. I don't, like, I'm not rolling up. I'm not taking a vacation to some place where the thing's going to pass for 3 minutes so I can propose to my girlfriend or, you know, rededicate my love to my wife.
Wow.
Right?
I thought it was kind of cool, but I guess
well, you were wrong.
You do not share my enthusiasm. So how about this? I love this.
Uh-huh.
This is a great story. So the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be kicking off their season next year in Brazil.
Brazil?
On a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Their first home game or their game is going to be in Brazil. Well,
if
normally,
if you go there to play football, do you have to get the Brazilian?
So when they usually play at home, the Eagles wear their home green jerseys.
Uh-huh.
They are being banned from wearing their green jerseys for the game in Brazil because the team whose stadium they'll be playing in, Corinthians, has the color banned due to their intense rivalry with the Palmeiras.
Boy, it's like the Jets and the, who are the West Side Story?
The Sharks.
The Sharks and the Jets. So you can't wear green in the stadium
because you can't wear green in the stadium.
Our bitter rivals?
Yes. Which I kind of respect.
But
I respect
these are
that.
Soccer guys, right? Yeah,
they're soccer guys. And whatever you may want to say about soccer, and trust me, we've said it all. But one thing I undeniably admire about soccer fan, damn, they take their rivalry seriously. You think we take our rivalry seriously? Right, it's not even close to the way that they take
their rivalry. Here's the problem. In any soccer stadium across the world, okay, any one of them, the fans are tougher than the players.
Yes, that's true.
I have a problem with that.
That's true.
No cap.
That's true.
Fans way tougher than the players.
Way tougher.
So the Eagles have to wear white.
They cannot wear their green jerseys. Nope.
Who are they playing?
Shoot.
You didn't answer my question about the Brazilian.
Yeah, I know. I heard it.
You did?
I heard.
I don't know if you, like, is that mandatory? Like, everybody line up for your waxing?
Well, you know me. I'm a big fan of waxing.
You are a big fan of waxing.
I get the back waxed every summer.
Right.
Because I'm not going to have a hairy back around the beach in the pool.
No,
so
absolutely
I'm a
not.
Fan. I have no problem with it.
You look like an Angora sweater if you don't have your back.
Exactly.
Yes.
Must get done.
They're playing the Packers, by the way.
Packers.
Well, Packers are green, too.
That's true. But the Packers are the visiting team, so they'll be the Palmeiras.
Give their dark green. Wow, this is a this could be a conundrum.
You think
for
Roger Goodell got this one out?
Apparently not.
Apparently not.
Maybe the Packers will have to wear yellow.
I'm sure they have some kind of alternate uni they can wear. Fan Flyaway, presented by Sport Clips. It's back, and we're sending one lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the championship in June.
Oh, wait, texture. The Eagles do have that black home jersey, too. They could wear the black home jersey, and the Packers could wear white.
Could wear white. Okay.
Good catch, Texter.
Good catch. Good catch. Every team's got like six uniforms now, so I'm sure they can come up with one. We hope that our local team will be there in the finals and get a chance to maybe see them out on the road in an Eastern Conference team to be determined. You'll get two tickets to a game. Round trip airfare for two from Denver to the destination to be determined. Two nights hotel, $500 spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered our Fan Flyaway in February to Vegas, you're already automatically signed up. So good luck with that one. Coming up next, Nugget fan, you got them. You got the Lakers again. They apparently want the smoke. How you feel about it? And a noted NHL voice is not high on the Avalanche heading into the playoffs. Tell you what he had to say next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I wish I knew you wanted me.
We played Charles Barkley calling out Solar Eclipse Man.
Yeah.
And you kind of agree with Sir Charles. Led to these texts coming in literally at the same time. Is space not interesting to you guys?
No.
Followed up by, since the eclipse, has anyone checked on Space Guy? Sent him meatloaf down to his mom's basement, made sure he's still around?
Right.
Still okay?
Dude, that was their, that was like their total Super Bowl. Space Guy was just like relevant.
I found it interesting, but no, I was not going to. If the path had passed right through here, yeah, I'd have been checking it out. But I wasn't going to go travel to Arkansas to go see it or something, like some people did.
You got to admit, Space Guy is smart, though.
How so?
Well, he just knew right where it was going to be. Like, how do you, like, there's got to be math involved. You knew right where it was, you knew it was going to soar right over Maine. In the town.
Space Guy, keeping receipts. Obviously, Stink did care about the eclipse because he's still bitching and whining about it 2 weeks later. Let it go, big guy. Space Guy bowing his back a little bit. Coming after Stink.
No, I just was commenting how stupid you guys looked. That's all. My gripe wasn't so much with Space Guy either. It was with the way it got covered by National Media Guy.
Slow news day.
Yeah. Weather is.
People love weather. People, there's a reason why if we get a snowstorm.
Oh, it'll be 24/7.
Somebody from Nine News is on an overpass at 6th Ave and Sims.
Right.
You know?
Let's throw it to traffic. It's crazy out here. You know, I mean, that's.
You know, somebody's position outside the Eisenhower Tunnel. Conditions are brutal.
Right.
It's a whiteout. Don't drive up here.
Did you guys see all the videos from Dubai?
Yes.
With all the flooding?
Wow, yeah. That's wild. And do you know what apparently has brought that on?
Cloud seeding.
Cloud seeding. Which, first thought, that works.
Yeah.
Because if it works, that's, to me, that's good. But, wow, did you see it?
Yeah.
Like, Dubai is in the desert. Right?
Right.
That's in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
It's completely flooded. Like the whole city is under
the biggest
2 feet of water.
Rain event. It's 6 inches of rain. The biggest rain event in the last 75 years in Dubai.
Did you see the planes trying to go across the tarmac?
Right. It's just
look like boats.
I was surprised that like they were still trying to fly in and out of Dubai.
Yeah, how are you going to get enough speed to take off or land? What is it going to be like when you land?
Pilots putting Evan Roods on the back of the.
Jeez,
right?
Where's what's the guy's? Who's the guy that landed the plane in the Hudson?
Oh, Sully.
They need Sully. Get Sully on.
Sully to land in Dubai.
So. What have you've been listening to my one complaint / concern about the Avalanche the last 2 years since they won the Cup. What's it been?
What's
my number one concern then?
They didn't do enough to replace the guys they've lost.
Didn't do enough to replace Nazem Kadri. Haven't done enough with the supporting cast.
Correct.
And I've been banging that drum for the last 2 years.
Yes, you have.
I did like what they did at the trade deadline. Encouraged by it. Hopeful. Certainly did not buy the immediate rush to certainty that a lot of people said, oh, they found their supporting cast. Oh, they found their second line center for the next 7 years in Casey Mittelstadt. I was like, whoa. I like the moves on paper, but can we see how they play out?
Sure.
First, before we go taking victory laps. Well, anyway, Paul Bissonnette from the from TNT, from the Spittin' Chicklets podcast, he's down on the Avs going into the playoffs.
Going back to the last run, I feel like they scored their way out of trouble, where they had that secondary scoring, and they had that second line with Kadri. And if you want to talk goalies, what's their next biggest issue? Listen, Mittelstadt's been solid since he's been here. But he ain't the answer for Kadri. Even so much so where now they've bumped down and separated the two-headed monster with him and Ratanen.
Does he talk like this a little bit?
They just still haven't replaced Kadri.
Hold on, let me hear that again then. And going back to the last run, I feel like they scored their way out of trouble.
Scored their way out of trouble.
Okay, yeah.
He's got a little he's got his mouth, like his teeth clenched.
Like he's clenched and he's like, he's speaking through gritted teeth.
With gritted teeth. And also, he's got a little bit of a slur.
So let's picture a slur while talking through gritted teeth.
Okay. And going back to the last run, I feel like they scored their way out of trouble.
Going back to the last run, I feel like they've scored their way out of trouble. I'm nailing this.
You are nailing it. But what about what he said though? What about the message?
I wasn't listening. I got mesmerized by the spittle, teeth clench, throaty sound of his voice.
Here's the good thing about the Avalanche situation. If the only way they're going to win another cup is if their core is just playing lights out.
Right.
At a bare minimum, that has to happen.
Oh, right? They've got to be Rantanen, Val, McKinnon, Lehkonen.
Yeah.
They got to be scoring so, 4 or 5 goals a night.
So if you take that as a first step given that has to occur, then you look at the supporting cast and you don't need a lot from them.
No.
That's the good news. The good news is that while you may have questions, and certainly a guy like Paul Bissonnette has questions about their supporting cast, the good news is that in order to be able to win a series in 7 games, you need some contributions. It's not like you look at this team and say, boy, if they're not getting huge contributions from their third line, they're really screwed. No, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because at a minimum, you have to have your big dogs eating in this series. And then if you can just get the occasional goal from Casey Mittelstadt, get that occasional goal from the third line, you know, get your defenseman to pop in a goal or two, that can be enough to get it done. It's not ideal. It's not like what you had when you won the cup a couple years ago where all those boxes were checked, but you can still find a way to grind out wins in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then ultimately, when you do get that odd man rush, when you do get that, you know, breakaway opportunity or that, you know, one-on-one situation between offensive player and your goaltender is going to have to come up with a stop or two. You're going to have to make some good stops. Yep. That's what it's going to come down
to.
Well,
you heard what Bissonnette said through gritted teeth. He's acknowledging that their goaltending situation really hasn't changed from when they won the cup. Listen to what he said.
Going back to the last run, I feel like they scored their way out of trouble where they had that secondary scoring and they
scored their way out of trouble.
Scored their way out of trouble.
It's almost like it's got a little bit of Connery there too.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But it's like he's saying is that
their goaltending was not good when they won
then either. Yeah. But they were able to score above the goaltender.
Right.
Can they do that with this year's team? And that's why when Bissonnette says what he says, we've already started to hear, led by the James Merrillats of the world, the idea that Jared Bednar could be in trouble if the Avalanche go out early. To me, this isn't a Bednar issue. This is a front office issue. And ever since Joe Sakic handed the reins of the front office over to Chris McFarland, I haven't been blown away by the results. Wasn't blown away last year. And
the front office isn't going to fire the front office.
That's a great point.
Right.
That's a great point.
By the way, not to change the subject on you, but I'm going to change the subject on you.
So he said he sounded more like Thurston Howell.
No.
If you go back old Gilligan's Island, there was more Thurston Howell there than there was Sean Connery.
Going back to the last run, I feel like they scored their way out of trouble.
A little bit of lovey there.
No, it would be like, they scored their way out of trouble. But he's got that, you know, there's still those clenched teeth. So, hey, Johnny, can you do me a favor? Can you do us a favor? Peter Schrager. Can you get Peter Schrager's, I think he just put out a mock draft, but somebody on the text line said, Peter Schrager said the Broncos are going to go with a veteran quarterback this year.
Yeah, he said they're going to draft defense. He's got him taking...
you know this already.
Yeah, I do know this.
Should I get Schrags on?
Well, yeah, let's get Schrags on. He's got them taking that guy from the pass rusher with all the question marks about the medicals.
Oh, Latula Louie
from UCLA.
Yes.
He's got them.
Louie Louie.
They've got. He's
Louie
got
Louie.
Them,
he's got them Louie Louie.
He's got them taking Louie Louie. Louie.
Yeah. Laiatu Latu.
What?
Laiatu. Laiatu Latu.
Laiatu Latu. Laiatu. He's got them taking Laiatu Latu from UCLA and going the veteran quarterback route.
All right, let's just see what Shriggs says.
You know that Dubai, by the way, did not install when they built that unbelievable city. They did not like build any real like sewage or drainage systems.
What do they do with their sewage?
To be able to handle like all the water and stuff.
Oh,
that's why everything's flooding.
Well, yeah,
a
I
wild
mean,
it's scene.
But you would think is Dubai. Now I'm going to go. I'm just going to show my ignorance
again.
Here we go.
I
just assumed Dubai's all sand.
Well,
does the sand not absorb a bunch of water, or does it just get
like... No, it can absorb a lot of water. I think that's the problem.
It can't. I don't know. I mean, when I'm on the beach and the waves roll up, it's always water just whoosh, right into the sand.
Must be a different kind of sand. I don't know. Desert sand might be different from beach sand. I don't know. But all I know is that if they're getting massive flooding, they're in a desert, and the deserts can't seem to handle all the water.
That's what happens.
Did you catch Brock Purdy? I want to hold this story. I want to get to this story because this is awesome. And this led to another video I saw recently that it was one of the most mind-blowing videos I've seen in a long time.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
We'll get to that. We're getting a lot of reaction to the Nuggets getting the Lakers in round one. Again, just in case you haven't seen the schedule, it looks like this. The first four games are set. The Nuggets will be hosting the Lakers game one, round one, Saturday night. We predicted this yesterday that if it was the Lakers, they would get one of the primetime games, and they are getting the primetime matchup of the day on Saturday, 6:30 our time, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 on the West Coast on ABC. That's the marquee matchup. Monday, home against LA, 8 p.m., probably about 8:15, 8:20 tip-off on TNT. Thursday at LA, again, 8 p.m. on TNT. And then Saturday in LA, again, the 6:30 game. So, That's why when we were coming down the stretch here and people were talking about, well, you know, you got to worry about resting these guys, don't burn out Joker and all that kind of stuff. I never listened to that talk because, hey, you get the whole week off this week while the play-in stuff is getting done. Secondly, they do tend to drag things out in the first round. It gets a little bit more condensed after you start to move deeper into the playoffs, but the first round with all the series going on, and they try not to let one series get too far ahead of another series. For all those reasons, they're spread out. So think about this. The Nuggets play Saturday and Monday, and then they don't play again until Thursday. So they'll get some time off. And then if for some reason, and I can't imagine this is going to happen, but let's say this thing gets extended to a sixth game in L.A., they'll play game five here in Denver on Monday, April 29th, and then again, they don't play again till Thursday, May 2nd. So there's going to be plenty of time off during the series. Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you think about that from the standpoint of how it helps the Nuggets, or do you think about it more from the standpoint of how it helps the Lakers?
I think about it more about how it helps the Lakers. You know, I mean, they're older, obviously.
So you're buying into the whole idea that was tried, because you're going to hear a lot of this over the next couple days, because this was what we heard. Remember last year? Hey, this is good for the Lakers because they're getting the Nuggets in the, what was it, second round?
Right.
Right? And so the idea was, hey, before they get too beaten down, they're still relatively fresh. They're going to be able to give their best effort against the Nuggets.
Well, they gave their best effort.
Oh, they did. It was the best sweep Brian Windhorst has ever seen.
Ever.
But in this case, the idea is the Lakers are fresh. It's the first round. The games are spread out. And this is their best chance to, if you have to go through the Nuggets, this is the best time for the Lakers to get the Nuggets. That's you're going to hear a lot of that over the next couple of days, trust me.
Oh, there is no question. They're going to say, hey, this is the best time for the Lakers, and this is going to be the best, you know, the best opportunity they're going to have. And, you know, and everything is going to set up perfectly for the Lakers. I mean, this is all about how the Lakers beat the Nuggets. Has nothing to do with the Nuggets. This whole series on television, as it plays out in the national media, has nothing to do with the Nuggets repeating as much as it has to do with how the Lakers can beat the Nuggets. That's how it will be presented.